We know that as an assembly, we are very much committed to global missions. And we can really thank and praise the Lord that the Lord has been using us as an assembly in the years past in reaching out to unreached parts of the world, sending many of our people. So I'm so happy and proud in a positive sense to say that as an assembly, we are in the forefront of global missions. That may be true of many of our other assemblies in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex and probably in many other parts of the world. You know, that really prompts us to delve deep into the meaning of the Great Commission more and more. Because we are fulfilling the Great Commission, so we need to really know more about the Great Commission. So this morning, we will have another look at the Great Commission. Why do I say another look? Because I remember from this pulpit, I have taken a series of messages, a detailed study on the Great Commission. Others also have done it. But this morning, I want to approach it from a different perspective. More emphasis on missional discipleship and the core and the thrust and the pivotal significance in the Great Commission. Now, in contemporary evangelism today, there is an overall emphasis and interest in the Great Commission. If you look at the evangelical churches all around us, we find that, you know, many Bible-believing evangelical churches in this country are committed to the Great Commission. They have a lot of mission trips going around the world. But I have read and I have attended some of those mission conferences, read their literature. Well and good, you know, I'm not their judge. But probably nowadays, we place more emphasis on the methodology, how we can do it. There is nothing wrong. We have to know good methodology in fulfilling the Great Commission. But I think it is the Lord's desire that we should develop a real appreciation for what is the Great Commission and what are the most important truths in the Great Commission before we jump into the mission field. I'm not discouraging anyone, but as we go, as we move along, as we are involved in missions, let us make sure that we carry an understanding of a missional discipleship and really knowing and appreciating what is the church's commission. So we will read verses 18 to 20. And to my surprise, the Lord is a Lord of surprises sometimes. Even though all his plans and purposes are a part of his eternal decree, there are no surprises for him. You know, no surprises for the Lord. But sometimes in his ways and dealings, he surprises us. So, because I'm planning some of my ministries ahead for this year, and that is the reason I started reading and studying this more, even though I have done it a number of times and spoken it around the world. But I thought of meditating it and studying it more in relation to my own discipleship, my personal discipleship. And the Lord showed me many things in the Great Commission which I have not seen before. And as I was preparing this message, what was the surprise? I came up with not one message, but a series of messages. So in the will of the Lord, in the future, I will continue on it. So Matthew's Gospel chapter 28, reading verses 18, 19, and 20, I'm reading from the New King James translation. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We very well know the importance of the Great Commission. It is repeated 5 times in the New Testament. When the Holy Spirit calls our attention 5 times to something in the Word of God, it is of utmost significance. It is number one priority for the Spirit of God. And it should be of utmost significance to us. 4 Gospels conclude with the Great Commission, and the book of Acts begins with the Great Commission. Now, the commission is for a task. There is a great task ahead of us in the will, plan, and purpose of the Lord. And when the Lord commissions the church, when the Lord commissions us, it is for the fulfillment of a task. These are the mission orders of the mission's commander. This is not a great suggestion. It is the Great Commission. And it should never be a great omission on our part. Now, when we study the Great Commission, its 5 different versions in the New Testament, we know that Matthew's version is the more comprehensive, more detailed version. Now, if we put it all together, I think you would agree with me that if I make a suggestion that the Great Commission is in 2 phases or in 2 parts. The first part is seen in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. All of us know, go and preach the gospel. It is for the proclamation, preaching, witnessing, sharing, conversion, making people, giving people an opportunity to hear about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, about salvation in Christ. So Mark's emphasis is on the first part of the Great Commission, preaching. But Matthew gives us the overall commission in its significance, and more emphasis is on the second part, that is on discipleship. So we can say evangelism and discipleship is the core of the Great Commission, and particularly in the light of Matthew's detailed version, it is discipleship. And all of us who have studied this passage, I think by this time, we have fairly a good understanding about Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Only 1 imperative verb. In KJV, it is translated as teach, but it is actually make disciples. Not 2 words in the original text, only 1 word, disciple. Or I have come up with another word, disciplize. Only 1 imperative verb. It is modified by 3 adverbial participles, going, baptizing, and teaching. So we need to look into all of that. And we have fairly a good understanding. You know, the commandment is, the commission is to make disciples. And in that process, there is baptism, there is going, there is preaching, there is baptizing, and there is teaching. Now, that is not my emphasis. You know, I have heard a friend saying that every Christian should take the Great Commission seriously and the great commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ also seriously. What is the great commandment? Love your neighbor like yourself. And also, we must emulate the great compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I liked it when he said that. Great commission, great commandment, and great compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, towards the end, we read that he saw the multitudes without a shepherd, and he saw them confused and burdened and weary. And what happened? He felt compassion on them. And it is out of his compassion that he reached out to people. He loved them. He met their needs. So, dear brothers and sisters, that is a wonderful truth for us. You know, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and the Great Compassion. The Lord has called us into these marvelous, wonderful things. Now, we, in the process of fulfilling the Great Commission, you know, we are very much interested in it. We want to go to mission field. We want to pray. We want to give. But let us not devalue or denigrate the core commandment in the Great Commission. Let us not overlook that. Now, let me tell a word in relation to this. You know, there is a particular phenomenon that is happening in the churches today. The churches have outsourced the theology and deeper things into the academia and the seminaries. And the pastors, the elders, the evangelists, youth leaders, conference leaders, all are giving an impression to the people that we are here for simple things, some devotional things, some applicational things. If you are really interested about the intellectual, serious, mega doctrinal, theological concepts of the Bible, this is not the place. Academia, prophecies, we don't need that. This is the place for it. This is the place. For those of us who are really interested in specializing, we can go to the academia. But it is for all of us to know the truth, the theology, and the truth of the Word of God, and then try to understand it, appreciate it, practice it, and know how relevantly, meaningfully we can apply it. So that kind of shallow approach in the assemblies, you know, it is not a good trend. And that trend, not only among young people, even among older people. As I have told you, what is the first thing when you get invited to a conference? We don't need any doctrine, brother. We need some simple application. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. That's what, you know, many of the veteran believers, leaders are telling nowadays. They tell me that. They tell that to other speakers. You know, because they do not know what they are doing. It is a wrong understanding about the whole of biblical truth. Let us not outsource that to someone else. The Lord has committed that to us. But that itself will not be enough. We should know it. We should understand it. We should practice it. We should hold it in reverence and demonstrate it through our life. Now, verse 18. And Jesus came. So Jesus was in their vicinity when this happened. But Jesus came. Actually, the word is drew near. If you turn few pages back, Matthew's Gospel chapter 17 and verse 7. Matthew 17, 7. At the Mount of Transfiguration, by hearing the great heavenly announcement that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 6, Matthew 17, 6. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Look at verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them. It is the same word. In the Gospel of Matthew, this verb is used 52 times. And 50 of its occurrences are on the lips of petitioners and disciples who comes to Jesus with petition, drawing close to him. Lord, help me. I need your help. I'm a petitioner. I have a need. They're drawing near to the presence of the Lord. But here, it is in the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is doing it. What is he doing? With a tender touch, with a tender approach, he draws near. So it is not simply coming. It is drawing near with a concern. It is coming near in tenderness, in patience, in grace, in love, to help them, to take them, and to touch them, as he did in Matthew 17, 7. So we cannot overlook Matthew's verb, came, 52 times. He uses it, and it has a special flavor, touch to it. And the condescending Jesus is here to help the disciples, came near. He was there with them in the presence. Now, before giving the Great Commission, opening his mouth, he comes near to them. He leaned forward. He touched them in his tenderness, in his love, and in his care. Then what is the first thing he said? About all authority. Now, look at the four all things in the Great Commission. All of us know it. We have studied it before. Verse 18, all authority. Verse 19, all the nations. Verse 20, all things. And I'm with you always, all the days. Four times. And I add my own fifth one. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of God. All of God. So, in one way, you know, five times. So the emphasis is in all things, all authority. So the Great Commission begins on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. KJV, again, it is power, but the word is not dunamis. The word is for authority. It is all authority. It is the executive power. It is the absolute power. It is the universal power. It is the right to act. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that after his death and resurrection, he is the CEO of the universe. He is the cosmocrator in the universe. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all authority has been conferred upon him and committed to him. During the time of his incarnation, he had those authorities, but it was limited in its exercise. It was restricted, but now it is unlimited, boundless, and broadened the spheres of exercising that authority. That authority is a mediatorial authority, Father's authority, conferred upon him on the cosmic Christ. And with all authority. Now, he didn't say all authority has been given to me on earth first, but in heaven. But first he said all authority has been given to me in heaven. I believe there is a great significance as I understand it. And I'm going to explain that to you. All authority, dear brothers and sisters, the word order is not like in English, all authority in the Greek text. It is given to me, like in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, I say unto you, my commandments, my orders, my words, my oracles. The Sermon on the Mount, we recently studied that. It is full of I, me, and my authority. And at the end of the sermon, the people were marveled at the authority with which he spoke. And throughout the Gospel of Matthew, he emphasizes the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has authority? Who has given him authority to forgive sins? At least 10 references to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Gospel of Matthew. And I, me, mine, the authority in the Sermon on the Mount. Like that here, given to me. All authority. Given to me is all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Why heaven first? Because in the heavenly places are the domain of satanic and demonic forces. And I believe that is the reason the Lord said, now I am victorious over death and Hades and hell and satanic and demonic forces, and my authority is far above all the authority that will work against you in the mission field. We know that in many mission fields in the world, in Africa, in our experiences, many of us know, also in some places in India, in Latin America, and also Mexico, Peru, in many places we have seen the forces of darkness working very clearly. I have seen that in Nigeria, in many other parts of the world. But in different ways that is operated here also in the United States. The addictions people have. You know, the addictions people have. People are mentally deranged, not because of any psychological problems, mental problems, but because of their slavery to demons, to satanic forces. So that will become a great challenge in their missions. And especially in the first century, we know that even during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the demons always challenge the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord is making sure, the Lord is making it abundantly clear that whether you are in USA or in Peru or in Nigeria, demonic forces will be always be against us and against our ministry. And they are much more superior in power and strength than any one of us. How can we defeat them? How can we defeat their allurements, their temptations, and the bondage to it? And when they try to deceive and trip us and our ministries and our life. The Lord said, from this moment onwards, you know, all authority in heaven. Let me draw your attention to another verse in Ephesians chapter 1, for where Paul throws more light on this. I don't think we cannot take these things lightly. We have to really understand what did the Lord mean by the authority in heaven before he said on earth. In Paul's prayer, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 onwards, for Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom, and in verse 20, we read, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In the heavenlies, in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. New American Standard Bible, far above all rules or rulers or leaders. Who are the rulers in the heavenly places, the principalities? They are the angelic and demonic powers. So our Lord's authority, according to this verse in Ephesians 1:20-21, it is far above all principality. Look at the next word. It is power, but it is actually the word authority. So far above all rulership and principality and power or authority. Look at the third word, dunamis, might, against power and dominion. The word is kuritos, lordship. So the lordship of the heavenly places is controlled by demonic forces. And my authority is far above all authorities, principalities, and powers in the heavenly places. We are scared to death. I have been scared to death a number of times in my ministry. All of us are. Not only in ministry and mission fields. Daily in our life, we are scared to death. You know? But what a reassurance. All authority in heaven. Then the Lord said, so authority. That is where the Great Commission begins. The Great Commission did not begin in opportunities. Young people, hear me. Listen to this. Great Commission is not on the basis of opportunities in Africa or in Malawi or in India. It is not on the basis of the need. No, absolutely not. Need is important, opportunities are important, but they are only secondary. That there is no mention about that in the Great Commission. Great Commission is based solely, completely on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about mission, we immediately think about the need, the opportunities, whether I have the ability, whether I am willing, whether I am healthy, whether I have the resources, whether I have the money to do it. Now, all these are practically valid consideration, but only on a secondary level. That's not the primary thing. So I want all of us to know that according to the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of the things which we constantly emphasize is not a part of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is solely on the basis of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord's authority, might and majesty and greatness is far above everything in heaven and on earth. And it is, the Great Commission flows from the authority of the resurrected Christ. It is based on it. It is founded on it. The fundamental basis of all Christian mission is the unique authority of the resurrected, ascended, glorified Christ, or in other words, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Jesus is Lord. And it is on that basis Great Commission was given. How do I know that? Why I'm so forceful on it? Look at verse 19. Therefore, go. Therefore, wherefore, why? Therefore, on the basis of my authority, go. Not on the basis of the opportunity, not because somebody called you, not because there is an opportunity. Those may be all valid consideration, but all secondary, that is what I mean. You know? But what is the most important thing for you to go? The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in heaven, but over everything on earth. That is number two, the second sphere of his authority, over everything everything on earth. So let me explain that. On nations, rulers, kingdoms, kings, presidents, prime ministers, persecutors, unbelievers, terrorists, ISIS, everybody. Everybody on earth. Everything on earth. The Lord did not say, now I'm giving you a great commission, make disciples. No, 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 no. On the basis of my authority, you need to know who I am. Can you believe this? A first century Jew, few days ago, he was ridiculed, mocked, and rejected, and he died a shameful death on a cross. And here he rose again without a chair and a throne and a kingdom and weapons. He is saying that I am the universal Lord of this universe. I am the Cosmocrator. I am the Cosmic Christ. And all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Therefore, go. Not on the basis of any other consideration. Not on the basis of available funds. Not because somebody encouraged you. It is on the we must go because we recognize the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now comes the discipleship part. What is that? Go therefore, and what is your task? Making disciples. Disciple or discipleize. Now the question that came to me, and I want to present that forcefully to you. It is to 11 disciples, to a group of disciples were called to make disciples of all nations. If you are not a disciple, the Great Commission is not given to you. Great Commission is given to disciples to disciple others. So our own discipleship, living under the authority of Christ personally in our life, is that thing that qualifies us to be involved in the Great Commission. Otherwise, what does it mean? If I'm not a disciple, hear me well, if I'm not a disciple of Christ, now I'm not talking about that in its perfect sense, in its complete sense, in all its fullness, no. But in its ordinary sense, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to take up the cross. You are the king of my life. I surrender myself to you. I want to follow you. You are number one in my life. You are the number one priority in my life, in my time, in what I read, in what I see, in my wealth, in my family, in my decisions, in everything. You are number one. I am your disciple. And this Great Commission is given to disciples And if you are not a disciple, sorry to say that, you will not be able to disciple others. That is the missing link in the Great Commission in contemporary evangelism. Because contemporary evangelism gives the impression that we all team up and we will go all have fun. Wonderful, great. That's not what Great Commission is all about. How many of us go to mission field by really studying, taking a real understanding and training in the discipleship? We abhor training. As assemblies, we always hate anything related to teaching or training, equipping. That should change. We should really know, what does the Great Commission require of me? After 39 years, this is coming back to me even forcefully, that my own discipleship is the litmus test of my effectiveness, success, and blessing in the global ministry in which I am involved in. That is such an important truth. Young people, make sure you are on the path of discipleship, that you follow the Lord, you love the Lord, you personally come under the authority of Christ. Now, let us transfer the concept of that authority into our own lives. Do we submit to that authority? All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. He is Lord of all, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let us all say that, not only John MacArthur, let us all say about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. We must live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that means when he say, I have all authority in heaven and on earth, Lord, I understand the word, I understand the grammar, I understand the context. Praise the Lord for all the information you have given to me about it. I praise the Lord for that. But Lord, this morning, help me to recognize that authority in my life, in my practical life, in my family life, in every area of my life, and help me to obey that authority, submit to that authority, serve the Lord under that authority. Disciples are the one to go. If you are not a disciple in your own personal life, living under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very doubtful whether you can fulfill the Great Commission. What did the Lord say in Matthew 11? I'm talking about missional discipleship. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You have to humble yourself. My yoke, my authority, my teaching, my commandments, take that upon you and follow me. Hunger and thirst after my righteousness. The Lord said, a disciple's final ambition is to be like his master, being conformed to the image of Christ according to Pauline theology. But in the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, being, you know, a disciple should be like his master, bound up with the master. When I do my work, when I am involved in the Great Commission under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't worry about the success of others. I don't worry about the width and breadth and the effectiveness of others, the ministry of others. I don't worry too much about my abilities, my potential, and I don't worry about my resources, about how I will do it. No, that is the wonderful heritage we have in the assemblies. Do you know that? Anthony Norris Gross, father of faith missions, how many of you have read that book? Don't think that all what contemporary evangelism is doing is right. Don't think that all what mega churches are doing effectively is right. It is not right if it is not according to the word of God. We put our trust in the Lord and the Lord opens the ways and the Lord supplies our need. Why are we so confident about that? Because, Lord, I go under your authorities. When we do the Lord's work under his authority, we don't worry about our ability, our opportunity, our need, the encouragement and the funds and the potential, nothing, because everything is supplied to us under his authority. All authority is the capstone of the Great Commission. Therefore, go. Going, making disciples, is always under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And relate, the commission was given to disciples. And if we are not disciples, how can we disciple others? That is the question I want to leave before you. And that is the question that is disturbing me too much. You know, that is, if you are not a disciple, how can you disciple others? Great Commission begins in our heart as a devotion to Christ. I have never thought it like that all these years. Because in the context, you know, in the Gospels, when we read about discipleship, it is more like what we know in India as the master disciple, guru, and the disciple, gurukulam education. That is, the disciple staying with the master, observing the master, learning from the master, obeying the master, going wherever the master goes, and always being with the master, and finally they want to be like the master. In the Western world, you know, even interpreters find it very difficult to express it. But most of us have seen it all along. Walking in the streets of India, those gurus, those sannyasis, those monks, and their disciples walking with them. And finally, they want to become like their disciples. It is a similar context in the Jewish rabbinical training on discipleship. It is in that context the Lord is speaking. That is why after the book of Acts, there is no mention of the word discipleship in the epistles. Have you known that before? Because the Lord is not present upon this earth. I believe that is the reason. When the Lord was present, the disciples were with him. You know, learn from him, learn of me, always with him. But even though he is not with us personally, the Lord is in the person of his Spirit, he is indwelling us and he is transforming us to be like the master. That is why I said, Great Commission begins in our heart as a devotion to Christ. Great Commission is carried out under the authority and the lordship of Christ. We can only fulfill the Great Commission as we progress in the path of true discipleship. We will look at some of the other practical pertinent things later in our study, but all authority and disciples making disciples, we living under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the most important things which I wanted to share with you this morning. That is a new perspective, finding the missing links in the Great Commission. I hope and pray that the Lord may mold us, challenge us, help us to be faithful disciples. You know, as I had already prepared this message, there was a providential confirmation about this message that I should speak it and I should continue to speak it. Let me close by saying that. As you know, I'm more into God's providence nowadays, theologically studying it more in detail. Two providential confirmation. One elder calls me. This is after I completed my sermon, my outline notes, everything, prayed over it. One elder from one place in the United States calls me and said, would you come to our assembly? We want to invite you to come to our assembly for a couple of weeks to teach our young people particularly. And in quotes, he said, our young people are very good. There is nothing wrong with them. But you know, as it happens to all our young people and children today, they do not take Christian life seriously. He said, as a pastor, as an elder, as a shepherd, as a father, that concerns him. Good children, there is nothing wrong. They love the Lord. But they don't take it seriously. Everything is a joke. So I think you should come and teach on discipleship, the seriousness of Christian life. So I was very much encouraged. Then, couple of days ago, one young brother from this assembly calls me and tells, would you consider giving some message on discipleship? Wait a minute. How did you know that I'm going to speak on discipleship? No, he said, I didn't know. But we have been praying and thinking that that is one of the great needs. Not because we do not know anything, but we need to find the missing links and put that in perspective so that we may be successful. We may be able to fulfill the Great Commission according to the plan and purpose of God in our own humble life. Let's pray. Loving Lord, what an awesome privilege and honor for us, thy people, this morning in this assembly, in this congregation, to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. His authority is far above all authority in heaven and on earth. And we pray that thou may dispel all our doubts, all our fears, all our concerns in our life, whether it is in our education, whether it is in our ministry, whether it is in the oversight, whether it is for the deacons, whether it is in relation to our various other responsibilities of life. What a liberating truth that is, that we are under the authority of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Father, pray that each one of us may be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be able to make others disciples of him. How can we disciple others, Lord, if we are not disciples ourselves? Help us to think more deeply, more reflectively before thy holy presence about these questions. And we pray that thou may encourage us, thou may bless us, thou may revive us, and thou may use each one of us, and above all our assembly, collectively, use us for thy glory. Thank thee for our time of worship and remembrance. And we pray that what we have heard this morning from thy word may go deep down into our hearts and mold our thinking and our life and our priorities and our values. And may we go forward victoriously on the path of discipleship. We pray this in our Savior's holy and precious name.